Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask, a flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a spirit flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your spirit flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a man is awoken late at night to a disembodied female voice with a message. Did an illness increase paranormal activity around one listener? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in your story on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on, so you don't miss any of the episodes. And if you want all the bonus episodes, all the EPP episodes, more than 200 of them, advanced episodes of the program before we release them, go to ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to all of that stuff. Tony and Sean joining you once again. How are you this fine day?
Well, I'm great. I just took the garbage out. I made a big delivery into the garbage, and then I threw it out.
That sounds like an eventful day right there, taking the garbage out. All right.
Well, I had some leftover candy corn.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Clearly, I wasn't going to eat it.
We know your affinity for candy corn.
Because you know the best thing to do after you purchase candy corn?
It's usually to eat it, but in your case, it's probably not what went on.
It's to throw it out.
So why did you come in possession of candy corn to begin with?
Well, a friend was nice enough to give me some Halloween candy, an assortment, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And one of those assortments involved a bag of candy corn. So I... clearly just wasn't going to do anything with it. I'm doing a little fall cleaning, spring cleaning in the fall, and came across some candy corn, threw it right there in the garbage, and then I didn't want it in my sight or in my garbage, so I took it out.
There you go. That's quite a reaction to candy, that you had to physically remove it from the house.
Everybody has some. Usually it's some potent Mexican leftovers, mm-hmm. maybe... a pepper of sorts.
But they smell.
that curry. We know curry night for the next several months. But, you know, for me, it's not necessarily a scent. I just, I loathe candy corn. And I don't want it in my residence. I don't want it in my life. But that's for another story. Another show. Another life.
Or for a therapy session. One of the two. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a first letter. It says, please don't use my name on the air, but you may call me Daniel. So I'm hoping that that's not your name. I've never told anyone this story, but I've been listening to your podcast and considering becoming an EPP. I'm currently a senior in college. I was living in an apartment at the BSU Baptist Student Union on campus. I lived here for about a year. We'll call my roommate Don. Don had started making up stories about a ghost that lived in the apartment. They called them the ghost Vanessa. It got to the point that I couldn't take him seriously anymore. One night after worship downstairs, the apartment was upstairs. Don had gone up to the apartment, and I was talking to this cute girl. Then he came running down saying that I needed to come upstairs as soon as possible. Don's white, like seriously white, but his face was pale as if he had seen a ghost. So if I ran, so I ran upstairs thinking that someone had robbed or trashed the place or something. Don began telling me that he had heard footsteps in my room and that the light had turned on. He said he also had been hearing stuff, shuffling. He called out, I didn't realize you came back in, Daniel. At that point, the lights turned off and the door slammed violently shut. I said, dude, come on, I was about to get that girl's number. He said, okay, do you remember that shutting your door earlier before you left? No, I always leave it open while I'm gone. It may be shut now. But how do I know you didn't do it? Don then proceeds to tell me that he would never throw papers around my room. That was enough to send chills down my spine. Just a quick side note, there's no way to get into the apartment from anywhere in the building and back out without the landlord, who was constantly there knowing about it or us. So Don and I knew that lock eyes and we were in my room, staring at the door, thinking someone was playing a pretty intense prank on us, or on my OCD. We circularly walk around my room with our backs to each other. This is the biggest room in the apartment, but it's not that big. There are two beds, one closet with a door on the inside of either side of the apartment. It's about the only place you can hide if you're going to try and scare someone. It was the first thing we checked. There was no one there. Then I turned around and about passed out. There were papers scattered all over my floor. I keep my books in certain places. Like, I have spots marked out specifically for each book. I have a separate spot for my Bible. I always place my Bible there. I had fallen to my knees and I noticed my Bible had been thrown across the room. I slept in the extra room in the basement that night. I couldn't deal with the dirtiness of the papers being everywhere. That night I woke up in the middle of the night to the light being flickered on and off. I could see the light switch flipping up and down, up and down. There was no one near or around it. Then I heard a voice. Oh good, you're awake. My name's Veronica, not Vanessa. The voice repeated over and over for about 5 minutes before all the power just went out. The power was out for a solid hour. There was even a booming noise when it went out. And this had wakened Don. Don came downstairs with a couple of flashlights. Currently, Don and I were the only ones in the building, so we searched the building, attempted to call the landlord. We couldn't get a signal. We both decided to sleep in the same room. We're lying, speculating. What could have happened? Don suddenly starts to hush me, gradually getting louder, as if it was walking towards us. A voice kept saying, Daniel, Daniel, you'll have an accident tomorrow. The next day I totaled my car. Everyone walked away perfectly fine. I'm sure I was vividly shaken for a few days and left 2 days after the accident to go to the Bahamas for a mission trip. I no longer live there. I still go to the worship services and occasionally do my laundry there. I hate being in that place alone. While I haven't had any more experiences since I moved out, I'm still scared of it. I'd appreciate it if I could get an email saying if and what the name of the episode this gets posted on. We'll see if I can do that, but my goodness, you know, college housing. I never lived in any college housing, but I visited friends at locations, and they were always kind of, you know, they were older homes quite often, a lot of character to them. I'm not surprised these places have a lot of ghost stories attached to them.
Yeah, I number one, the one thing you look at in a good college house is the basement. That there are no windows, mm-hmm. because you gotta have a good place to throw your party. But they're not brand new construction for the most part. And what I took away from that is I had thought initially two things. A, Don had a girl over, correct?
There was a girl there. I don't know who brought her over, but she was there.
So in this Vanessa, or he had said that the ghost name is Vanessa, I thought that she was... Well, I don't. I know when a guy blocks another guy from that's a saying. But if a girl blocks from another girl, that Vanessa, this ghost, was trying to infringe upon any possible dating or what have you. But then the fact that she came back and said that it's Veronica, not Vanessa. I think this is a gal that quite possibly lived there, may have gone to school there. Was an ex-girlfriend of somebody that lived there. But then the whole fact that this ghost predicted the accident, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I mean, helpful, certainly. I don't think, if I were the ghost, I would, or if I was in the situation, I really want the ghost to tell me what the accident was going to be in great detail. Well, she did say auto accident, so I think I would just stay away from the car the full next day. But... It certainly would be very disturbing to have something like that that happen. And how long do you just, stay away from something?
And looking back on college is usually a fond memory of, man, remember that time, that party, or this, that, or the other. A lot of fond memories for this couple of fellas. It seems as though going back to that area, going back to that college town, not so fond memories.
No.
Don't want to come back and visit whatsoever.
I think for good reason, too. 855-853-4802, our number. Next letter says, just wanted to thank you all for the stories. Show's awesome. You guys are awesome. Makes me feel like I'm not alone and I'm not as crazy as I think I am when it comes to seeing and feeling things. I've written in before about my bunk bed story. I got to ring the bunk bed bell. That was kind of a shitty ring. Let's try that again. That's a little better. With a shadow person with blood red eyes, I can say that I'm a sensitive person when it comes to the paranormal stuff. Anyway, I'm writing in today because this had been bugging me for a while. I'm not sure if this is even paranormal or not, but my friend sure thinks it is. Here it goes. Me and one of my coworkers rented out an apartment near where we work. The house is fine, except most of the time there's no water, so we need to store water in a big container. When it rains, it also pours in my home and in my room. And in the living room because of the leaks in the ceiling. When we told the landlord about it, they just told us that they'd fix it. But never did. We wanted to leave and look for a different apartment. And one of our neighbors said that the unit at the end would be vacant soon and maybe we might consider getting it instead of the one that we're at. That unit has its water tank, so water will not be an issue. Doesn't have any leaks in the ceiling. It's a big apartment. It's like a huge two-story old house. And it's Wi-Fi, so we ended up transferring to the unit. Looked like a great deal at the time, but now not so much. Let me tell you this. When we first entered the house, it made me feel anxious and paranoid. I don't know why. So I just brushed it off, thinking it's just my brain being stupid. But since we moved in, I haven't had any proper sleep. I always wake up after 3 or 4 hours of sleep. I'm lucky if I was able to go back to sleep after that. It's even got to the point that I awake myself for more than 24 hours. My health was getting worse by the day that I stayed there. But it's the weekend, and when I'm home to sleep at my father's house, I was fine. I was able to sleep for 7 to 8 hours straight. Just last week, I experienced my very first sleep paralysis. I woke up not able to move. I felt terrified, like something is going towards me from my left side. My right eye was open, but I didn't want to open my left eye because I'm afraid to see something. Then I felt this heavy feeling in my chest, like someone or something is pressing down on me. I was so scared, so I tried screaming for my housemate's name, and eventually I was able to move, and then I was awake. I couldn't go back to sleep since, so I went to work looking like a freaking zombie. Then I got sick with a high fever and a nasty cold. This weekend, I couldn't go home because I was sick. I was alone in the house. My fever comes and goes after I take some medicine. I only felt so weak if I'm in my room or my bed, but on Monday when I went to work, I was somewhat fine. My fever went away. My cold stayed, but I can manage it. It's like when I'm at that house, specifically in my room, I just feel so weak. I'm currently in a hospital. My fever never came back, and my cold is getting better, which is weird because last night before I went here, I felt like I couldn't move and my soul is being sucked out of me. My friend says that there might be something in the house doing this to me. I believe in the paranormal, but I still look for a logical explanation for everything that happens to me. With this, I'm just not sure. I wanted to know what you guys think. Thank you for letting me share my story. Sorry if it's long and sorry for any grammar lapses. English is my second language. Keep up the great work. I'll become an EPP soon and have an awesome day. Thoughts?
Well, we'll call this visitor from the afterlife, Jeremy.
Is it Jeremy?
Ooh, or I'm going to get you sick.
Or could there be something?
Stuffy nose. Ooh, sneezing.
And then you need the angel coming in with the box of Sucrets so that everything's good, and a big scarf just magically flies through the door and wraps around your neck.
This encounter brought to you by Puffs Plus. Puffs Plus, now with aloe. give him a Kleenex.
I could see this being, it should be looked into. I would be concerned that there's like some sort of a gas leak in the house, honestly, because that can manifest itself into a lot of weird symptoms and to the point of being hospitalized. I guess I would narrow that down. It sounds like they're trying to be logical. Get that stuff checked out. Make sure there's nothing leaking in there. That could be a slow leak that could be causing some of this. It sounds like it's probably beyond that, but doesn't hurt to to be logical with it.
Or the carbon monoxide detector?
Yeah.
Carbon monoxide, yeah.
You know, I always get the two mixed up. I know neither are good for you, but...
I think monoxide is the worst of the two.
Okay, and dioxide is... Dioxide would be like huffing into like a plastic bag and then breathing it back in.
Sure.
I think that's because it was always like, don't, what was this? There was always something as a kid.
Don't
like,
suffocate yourself.
You're going to get carbon dioxide doing that. It's like, okay. And then you always hear the story of Billy down the street that died of carbon dioxide from blowing into his straw and the sippy cup had a lid on it. And then he passed out and perished. Wait, no, you don't. That story's not real. It doesn't ever happen. But it's a good one to scare your children with, I guess, for no other
also,
reason.
Also, when you're walking maybe across a bridge and you just let your hand go along the railing when you're, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and your dad says, Sean, now look at your hand. Look how dirty it is. Yeah?
And?
What the hell? What, it's called soap and water.
What always got me is this was back in the day when parents would have newspapers and they would be very concerned about our hands touching
and they
everything.
Would beat you.
Yeah.
They would roll it up.
They would.
I'm wearing a belt today.
They beat me with the newspaper. Then I'd have like newspaper print all over my face and it would no.
And then I had the 8-day forecast on my lower back. What the hell?
Not where I was going with it, but I was just thinking, you know, you held papers and your hands would be all dirty from holding the newspapers.
Oh.
But yeah,
because the ink would rub off.
Yeah, and you could like play with Silly Putty and do that, and get the comics to rub off onto the Silly Putty.
Or
you get beaten with it.
Left-handed. You're right-handed, correct?
Yes.
Left-handed folks tuning in will understand writing on the notebook. Two things: A, spiral-bound notebooks always got you on the arm as a lefty. Secondly, you would always the side of your hand would. Well, A, you would smudge if you're using a ballpoint pen that does not have fast drying ink. You would smudge your essay or whatever you were doing for schoolwork. And secondly, your hand would have all the pen on it, because if you think as a lefty, you're writing left to right, your hand's going left to right, opposed to a righty when you're the only thing that part of the hand is touching is just paper that mm-hmm. has not been written on as of yet.
What is it when someone is right-handed in their writing and everything
ambidextrous.
But then in sport, like my dad does this, he writes right-handed. He is primarily right-handed. But then he'll golf left-handed. And when he played baseball in his younger years, he was also left-handed there. I know that's ambidextrous, but what is that? What the hell is going on there?
You know, I throw lefty, I kick lefty, I bat righty,
really?
Bowl lefty. So it's a cluster. It's an anomaly.
Yep.
I'm not sure what terminology there is, but
I think cluster is just it.
it's just a cluster when you're born. You know what? You're healthy. You're good. Ticker's good. Lungs are good. You're a little fucked up in throwing and kicking differently, but you'll figure it out.
Is it just like how you develop, like when you're a kid with what you're doing? Like, well, he's doing it that way, so we'll leave him, and then
well,
you just end up
that
being, that's it.
Brings up a whole different thing. I mean, you talk about going to Catholic school years ago. My mom, who's a lefty as well, would, nuns would, with a ruler, slap you and force you to try to make you right-handed. Apparently left-handed people, satanic. No, I will shun you. Which lefties, as a fact, I mean, they're a little stranger, a little bit more intelligent. I mean, there's lots of different researches and studies, but the fact that there are considerably less amount of left-handed people,
mm-hmm.
who knows what the truth is to that? But I don't know. I don't know. And then you have parents as well in the competitive world of athletics. For example, with baseball, left-handed pitchers, you have a step up. To kind of make it again, less people that throw left-handed. So you have competitive dads that possibly from a very young age force their children into, you know, throwing left-handed in okay. hopes that they will make them millions of dollars later in life.
And end up just fucking the kid up at the end of the day.
And then they end up working at the Jiffy Lube, but hey, they get free oil changes in their minivan on their fourth wife with their six kids, but weather next.
855-853-4802 is our number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello there, guys. My name's Renee. I'd like to share a story about a workplace ghost. So this story happened 2 years ago when I was still working for a hardware store. So this hardware store was the biggest in town, but not as big as a Home Depot or something. So when I started with the company, they immediately told me that if you know you've experienced something unnatural inside a store, don't freak out because it's a normal thing here. There's a ghost here. They actually have a name for it. They called him Jeffrey, but no one can really explain where that name came from. So they told me that if something, you know, unusual happened, don't freak out and just let us know about it and we'll tell you a story. So yeah, I started working for them expecting, you know, something unusual will happen, but for the first 3 months, never really experienced anything other than, you know, stories from other section and department. I was really wondering why I'm not experiencing something. So that was until, you know, on my third month, I experienced something that might be related to Jeffrey. So during that time, it was almost, you know, 10 minutes before closing time. There was a customer who's been demanding for a lot of things. You know, we were all kind of unhappy, but that she was still not done with her shopping, though she's been in the store for almost 5 hours and, you know, ask for almost everything and purchase, you know, a couple of stuff. So she went to the paint section, which was my department. So she started asking for a lot of colors. You know, I gave her all the colors that I can give, but she still is looking for, you know, some unusual colors that we don't really have. And she started making a scene. Why don't you have this color? Why can't you make me one and, you know, mix paints, something like that. One of the toughest customers that I've experienced. So yeah, she started raising her voice on us and, you know, making us call the manager because she said it was unacceptable. Why don't you have this color? And something weird happened because how the items were displayed. So the paints, the cans were displayed below, of course, for the customer to see. And on the upper storage, that's where we put the extra paints, you know, for additional stocks. And how those boxes were stacked, we made sure that it's not going to fall over or something because we have a very strict stacking policy. So it's impossible for those stuff to fall unless someone push it, and for you to get there you need to be on equipment to reach the top shelves. So while this lady was, you know, freaking out, a box of latex paint, you know, the heaviest paint that we had, fell right next to her about, you know, just feet away. And you know, it was a scary moment for us because it almost hit the customer. She freaked out, you know, called 911 for it. And yeah, the company have to settle something with her. I'm not sure what happened, but a lot of people in the store, you know, checked the display and, you know, it's almost impossible how it fell. And they started, you know, calling out Jeffrey, trying to blame Jeffrey for it. Although we have to write, you know, a lot of couple page report on what happened and why it fell. But a lot of people are blaming Jeffrey for it. They're saying that probably Jeffrey didn't like the customer and did us a favor by scaring her or something. And the company actually circulated a memo stopping us from blaming Jeffrey for it, because, you know, probably scare a lot of customer because of that. But yeah, that's one of the experience with Jeffrey. And another one happened, you know, a couple months after that. This time I was assigned at the outdoor section, so it was the almost the end aisle of the store. So there's where we display our tents, our picnic stuff. And then the store policy was to, you know, look after each customer. So it was a normal thing for, you know, the PA system to call out aisle that has a customer that no one was looking after. And I get that call from the PA system, so I went to the picnic aisle, but found no one. So I called the security camera operator asking why we are, or that aisle got called out and no one was actually there. I said, you probably made a mistake calling the wrong aisle. But he said, there was a guy in white standing next to a tent when I checked it. And he actually went inside one of the tent. You can actually check it if he's still in there. So I checked all the tent, especially the one that the guy described. And no one was in there. And the funny thing is, when we reviewed the footage, there was indeed a person, guy in white, who entered one of the tents, and they actually showed me the footage up until the moment that I got there and checked the tent. And yeah, we were surprised when the story, you know, reached the people in the store. They immediately blame it to Jeffrey, and they're now saying that Jeffrey finally showed what he looked like, but we can't really identify the face of the person. Unfortunately, we can't, you know, get a copy of that footage because due to security reason, you know, we can't get the clearance to get the copy because of the security people were a third party consultant, so we can't, you know, get anything from them. And the last thing that I've experienced with Jeffrey, probably one of the scariest one. So it was Friday and we have to stay late at work. So there's an office upstairs. So we have to stay late to finish our sales report. So it's almost midnight when we finished. So the setup in the top floor was, you know, the office was next to a cafeteria that of course closed during the evening, and there's no really door. The cafeteria has no really door, so it's an open darkness, you know, and you have to pass that cafeteria before you can get to the elevator. So the moment we pass the cafeteria, there's like four of us, two ladies and one of my supervisor. The moment we passed the cafeteria, one of the office chair who came rolling out of the cafeteria from the darkness as if someone has pushed it from the inside, and we all freaked out, ran to different direction we can get to. You know, everyone was scared, everyone was shouting, what the hell was that? What the heck called the security? And we actually tried shouting inside the cafeteria, stop scaring us, dude, stop doing this prank, you know. And when the security guy came in, he checked the inside of the cafeteria and no one was there. So we all assumed it was Jeffrey trying to do prank on us or something. So a couple months later, I left the company. And as for last checking, Jeffrey is still in there trying to, you know, do a lot of naughty things, trying to hide stuff and then returning it. So yeah, they still believe in Jeffrey up until now. And yeah, they have new sets of stories that Jeffrey has done, but you know, they accepted the fact that, you know, he belonged there and he's part of the crew. So what do you guys think? Thank you so much for having this platform where we can share our story. Otherwise, people will call us crazy. Thank you so much and have a good one.
I think it's one of those where just kind of getting that off your chest probably is quite helpful, just to know that you're not crazy and other folks experiencing things like that.
I was waiting for him to the resigning part, the quitting, because if he had said that he was still an employee there, I would have said, with all due respect, get out of there.
Well, it wasn't horrible. It sounded more interesting than anything else.
True. Not horrible yet.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a consistent deal. And when he was speaking, I was thinking of the low budget movie starring everyone's favorite comic, Dane Cook. Not sure if you remember the late great Employee of the Month movie.
Yes, I do remember that.
Where it's the crew of people, and I think the gentleman who is married to Kristen Bell, Dak Prescott? That's a football player. Dak, the other Dak.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two Dak in pop culture.
Dak Shepard?
Thank you. He and Dane Cook, I think, they both work at the warehouse superstore outlet and compete for... I want to say it's Jessica Simpson.
It is.
I'll have to enter it and get it on the Redbox again. But I was almost thinking that it's that type of situation where you got the crew, and this obviously being at a hardware store. But it almost sounds like possibly that Jeffrey was part of the crew, then passed on, and now wants to just be the prankster back to the colleagues, to the buddies.
I think that's all it is. It's just he's still there and he's having fun and. He's just, you know, it's kind of weird where it's like, do you have a choice? Like, is this really what you chose on the other side where you could go do anything, you go explore anywhere, but you chose to hang out at the hardware store still and screw with people? Or was there not much of an option there? It's like, well, guess what? You get the hardware store in death as well.
So here are your options. go back to where you worked or go back to where you worked. What do you think?
You get to like to choose whatever might have been a job choice. You can go back to Dunkin' Donuts or you can go back to the hardware store. It's one of the two.
But we'll promote you to the assistant manager role in the afterlife. So here's a different colored vest and we'll give you $2 more an hour.
But it's not going to be on your card, though. It's just
but,
kind
you know,
of,
you're not alive.
Yeah.
So and no one can see you. So... Yeah, take it or take it.
It's like at a radio station where they're like, well, you're the music director, but we're not going to put it on your card, and you can't really call yourself that in public, but we're going to let you say that you're that. We'll tell you you're that, and we're not going to give you a raise either, but it's like, what?
And can I just make one moment, and obviously in the radio industry that both of us have as worked in, and sometimes you are there's ownership changes, there's budget cuts. There's not the best run leadership that then falls into budget cuts, and that may or may not have happened to yours truly. Can I just say in the exit interview on the checklist, and again, this taking the high road and wish the company nothing but the best in full sincerity. I'm not being a smart ass. But one thing that was somewhat of a conundrum on the checklist, they requested your business cards be returned. What the fuck? Like, really?
Just, you're going to keep going out
really?
There with them and, like, handing them out to people?
What the fuck am I going to do? I just thought to myself, because, I mean, in the world of business cards, which, again, in 2018, hey, here's a piece of paper with information on it, because that's timely and up-to-date and modern. But you have your stack, because obviously when you get them, you're like, oh, cool, I got business cards. And then you realize, the fuck am I going to give out business cards? So you have like 467 of the 500 that you got when you were hired. What? It was a legit – and again, I take the high road because just bashing whether it is warranted or not is really irrelevant in the world of any industry. But as you know, it's a small world and – you just take the high road. But I thought that was somewhat of a conundrum, and I tried not to have the emotions come across my face of the what the fuck? Like, what are you?
In
any event,
it explains so much of why radio is in the state it's in. It's if this is what you're concerned with, is that that's a reason shit is going so downhill in so many radio stations.
It It was definitely a conundrum, but I'll shoot Jeffrey a text. His assistant manager, I have an address for him of a building to haunt. It's not a hardware store. It's a radio station. But Jeffrey, go on over there. Fuck with them. That's cool. Steal the business cards and make them all like scattered across the conference room table on a Monday morning.
You go on,
Sean is the business card you're looking for. Sean Reed.
It's like a giant like a card pyramid. It's like all set up intricately, and you sneeze and it all collapses.
Like the card pyramid.
Yeah. 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 That would be that'd be quite a moment there in Radioland. Well, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person, on our website over at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, gets you access to all the advanced episodes before they are released, weeks before they are released to the public. And it's, like I said, it's what keeps this show alive at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.